The Shanachie, Tales of Old Seamus, by Jerry McCulloch.
McCafferty's Prize Pig. My old friend Seamus O'Hare sat in the bar at the Golden Pheasant and twinkled at me, his pipe in one hand and a pint of Guinness in the other. "So you know nothing about livestock, you tell me," he said, "and you've been coming to Ardnakiddle for so many years. That's shocking." I smiled at him. "You have to remember I'm from the city, Seamus," I said. "All I know about country ways is what I've learnt from you. But I'm always willing to hear more. And in truth, whatever I knew about the ways of my forefathers and the country life, I had learnt from Seamus, since the days when I had visited Ardnakiddle as a child and listened in fascination to his stories of the plants and birds and wildlife around me. No one knew more of country ways and days than my old friend Seamus O'Hare." "Well," said Seamus, "maybe you'd like to hear a bit about my friend Brian McCafferty, who raised the best pigs in this region for over 50 years. "It depends, Seamus," I said cautiously. "Is it an interesting story, would you say? Pigs now?" "Interesting," exclaimed Seamus. "It depends what you call interesting." And calling to Tommy the barman for another 2 pints, he sat back on his stool, pulled on his pipe, and began his story. It was a few years ago now. Brian and me were friends from way back. We went to school together and fought at lunchtime with cheesers, as we called them, from the chestnut trees they fell off. The English say conkers, I'm told. I was always the winner. Brian was very competitive now. I won't say he didn't do well, but he didn't do as well as me, I have to say. Well, the times went past. We grew up. Brian had a farm of his own. His daddy's, of course. In those days, we expected to get enough from our dads to keep us going. My own dad, good luck to him, never made enough to leave me anything. And sure, why should he? I never made enough myself to matter. Anyway, I think you could say that Brian still had the competitive spirit he had as a lad with the chestnuts. Whatever he did, he wanted to win. And what he was doing now was rearing pigs. There was this competition, the Donegal Prize Pig Award it was called, and Brian McCafferty had the winner without a doubt, or so he said. But then there was Davy McGuire from the other side of the valley. And according to Davy, the pig he had was bound to win over any other. McCafferty's not accepted. The time came nearer to the competition, and the odds were growing shorter in the pubs, and no one would have wanted to hazard a guess as to which would be the winner. McCafferty's Pink Perfection or McGuire's Donegal Hero. The rivalry caused a bit of bad feeling between McCafferty and McGuire, I'm sorry to say, and they would spend evening after evening in the Golden Pheasant arguing and boasting. To tell you the truth, it made me laugh to see them standing face to face, each with his jaw thrust out and going at it hammer and tongs. For McCafferty was a thin slip of a man, while McGuire was a real giant, a big strong man with the arms of the village blacksmith in the song Strong as Iron Bands. They made a right comic sight squaring up to each other. What's more, the rivalry carried on down to the next generation. McCafferty was an married man, I'll have you know, and his eldest son Mikey, a lad of 8 or 9 as I recall, was as eager as get out for his dad to win, while on the other hand his rival McGuire had a nephew of the same sort of age, who was equally keen to see his Uncle Davy walk away with the prize. So day by day, in the school playground, the pair of them were fighting it out as to whether their da or their uncle would win the prize. One fine day, not long before the judging was to take place at the Ardnakiddle Fair, matters came to a head. It was McCafferty's son Mikey who had the idea. "Listen now, Danny," he exclaimed to McGuire's young nephew. "I tell you how we can tell which pig is the better man. We'll get them both out of their styes one of these fine nights when nobody's looking, and race them up O'Brien's Lane till we see which is the faster." It went down well, no doubt of it. It was only Francis O'Sullivan, who knew far too much about everything. He pointed out to the lads that the prize for the best pig was nothing to do with speed. "It's for the fattest pig, sure," young Frankie said. "So the one that runs fastest is likely to be the skinniest, not the fattest, do you see?" But nobody was listening to him, least of all young Mikey. They led their plans carefully. The race was to be for the next evening. not too late, for it would be no race if it was too dark to see what the piggies were doing, but late enough so the evening feeds would be over, and the proud owners unlikely to come back until the morning. Around 8 o'clock, they reckoned. It was June, and the sky would still be light enough for a few hours by then. It just so happened that they discussed their plans behind the old mill down by O'Brien's Lane. No one was around, they thought. Aye, no one but myself, Seamus O'Hare, stretched out beside the hedge out of their sight, looking up at the sweet June sky, smelling the roses in the hedges, and enjoying the evening air, and listening, besides, to the plans the young rogues were making, and having a good chuckle to myself at the thought of the race they were planning. Now, it wouldn't be Seamus O'Hare if I was to go running with tails. I couldn't for the life of me see what harm there might be in the youngsters' plans. Besides which, there was a bit of fun in it, and forby, a bit of cash to be made on the side. For young Frankie was right, no doubt of it. Whichever of the pigs had the fastest speed would be likely to be the leanest, and so would be the loser in the fattest pig contest. Down in the Golden Pheasant, they were running a book on the prize competition, and I had a very good chance, if all went well with the piggy race, of knowing in advance which would win the big prize. On the evening of the race, I positioned myself well, early on. It was a beautiful June evening, with the white blossoms of the hawthorn and the yellow pins, and the pale wild roses scenting the air, and the sun lighting up the green meadows and the silky, honey-coloured coats of the cows, who were still grazing as they waited for their farmers to take them in for the evening milking. The sheep and their young were nibbling contentedly at the short grass, and the lambs nudged against their mothers as they waited for their evening feed. Presently, there came the noise of young human voices, chattering excitedly as they surged up the lane, every one of them wanting to get their say in over the rest. "Why have you got young Timmy with you, Mikey?" I heard Danny Maguire exclaim. "This is not for kids, sure. Timmy's only 4, he should be in his bed." Mikey's voice sounded sulky. "It's my ma's fault. She said I had to look after him while she went out to the bingo." I argued with her, but it was no use. "I think she meant me to stay in with him and put him to bed, but sure he's happy enough to come out with us, and he won't be a nuisance, will you, Timmy?" "No, Mikey," responded the youngster happily. "Well, let's get on with it," said one of the other lads. "I want to see those piggies run." So off went Mikey and Danny to the respective pigsties. In a short enough time they were back, driving the 2 fat pigs before them. That, I say, it would have been a day's work to tell any difference between them, for they were both as round and soft and pink as a cloud at sunset, and to my eye neither of them looked like a champion runner. There was a chatter and a fuss and a lot of excitement, and Mikey and Danny tried to bring their runners up to the starting point. In fact, there was so much noise that it was no wonder that none of the lads noticed the other thing that was going on. Indeed, it was a few minutes before I noticed it myself. Now, I've already told you that I kept the boys' secret to myself, for fear of spoiling sport, but with half the lads of the village in on the plot, it wasn't to be expected that no one else would get to hear of it. And it seemed that that was what had happened. Young Pat Donnelly had talked to his best mate, Larry Cassidy, behind the school bicycle shed, pouring out all the details in his great excitement, and unbeknown to him, big Jimmy Byrne had been listening. Jimmy told his mate, Sean. Sean spread it around to the lads in the Golden Pheasant that night, and it wasn't long before it got to the ears of both McCafferty and Maguire. At first, they dismissed it as a load of rubbish. But come the time of the race, neither of them felt safe ignoring the tale. Separately, for they were by way of being sworn enemies by now, they talked it over with their friends and supporters, and decided that the only thing to do was to check up on Pink Perfection and Donegal Hero, to make sure the pigs were safely in their styes. The bellow of rage McCafferty let out when he found the stye empty and no sign of Pink Perfection was only equalled by the wails of grief that came from Maguire when he realised that Donegal Hero was gone. From my safe position behind the hedge, I heard a confused rumble of angry voices approaching up the lane. Meanwhile, Mikey and Danny, both manoeuvring their runners by the nose ring, and each with a big ash switch cut from the hedge to give the piggies the option to start, were nearly ready to begin the race. The whole group of lads were gathered round the starting line, a chalk mark drawn across the dust of the lane. They were all so intent on the action that I felt I could risk pulling myself up for a quick glance over the hedge to see better what was going on. It was then that I noticed that there was no sign of young Timmy. I stood up for a better look. Yes, there he was, wandering off by himself down the middle of the lane, less interested in the race than in being out by himself so late at night, and eager to explore everything he could before Big Brother Mikey put a stop to it. In another second, he had disappeared from sight round a bend, and it was at that exact second that Kevin Hardy, the starter, finished his 1, 2, 3, go, and dropped his handkerchief. Mikey and Danny released the pigs and gave them 2 almighty thwacks with their ash switches, and with loud yelps the piggies started off down the lane as if they had been fired from a cannon. Now, you who tell me you know little of livestock may not know that a charging pig in the prime of life is a very dangerous animal. In 1 second I had leapt the hedge and was shouting to the boys, "Stop them! Young Tinny's right in their path! Stop them!" Mikey and Danny stared at me thunderstruck. The pigs were galloping on along the lane for dear life. What could we do? Then there was a noise like a whirlwind, and Davy Maguire was charging past us like greased lightning, both arms waving. And as we watched, flabbergasted, he caught up with the pigs, seized the tail of each, and raised him by the hind feet off the ground. How he had the strength to do it, I never knew, big strong guy though he was. However, we didn't have to hold them both for long. For a moment later, McCafferty was there, roaring down the lane behind him, and within seconds he had relieved Maguire of the weight of Pink Perfection, and before the awed spectators had properly taken in what was happening, both owners had managed to get control of the pigs by their nose rings. Oh, there was a moment while everybody took a breath. Then all hell broke loose. I didn't stay for it. As I slipped quietly away, I could hear McCafferty shouting at Mikey and Maguire giving Danny an earful, and there was young Timmy wandering back round the corner, smiling happily, as if nothing had happened and he'd been as safe as houses the whole time. But when all was said and done, there was an outcome which took all Ardmacill by surprise, and that was that Brian McCafferty withdrew his prize pig, Pink Perfection, from the competition at the Ardmacill Fair for the Donegal Prize Pig Award. There was great wonderment all around as to why he would have done this. But I had it from McCafferty, in a quiet chat we had one night, that he couldn't bring himself to win over the man who had saved his young son Timmy, at least from serious injury, if not indeed his life. And from that day on, McCafferty and Maguire were the best of friends. I never repeated McCafferty's words to me to Davy Maguire. If he had heard McCafferty sounding so cocksure of winning, it might have started the whole feud all over again.
You've been listening to The Shanachie, Tales of Old Seamus by Jerry McCulloch. You can subscribe to this podcast series via iTunes, or you can subscribe or play individual stories at jerrymcculloch.podomatic.com. For all this and more information about Jerry and her books, poems, stories and articles, check out her Facebook group, or go to our website at jerrymcculloch.com.